Rome has a history spanning 28 centuries. And part of the timeless appeal of what people call the Eternal City is that it's also constantly changing and evolving. And that can pose a challenge to today's travelers. Beyond navigating the ancient ruins, modern traffic, and nearly 4 million people all around you. Thankfully, I'm joined by two top-notch guides to update us on what's going on in their city. Virginia Agustinelli and Vanessa Nicole live and guide in Rome. Virginia and Vanessa, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure.
So nice to have you right here in our studio. First of all, Virginia, you lived in Seattle for a long time, 18 years. You're Italian, you lived in Seattle, and now you're back in Rome. What's that like to have been in America and then back in Rome?
It was a bit of a drastic switch from Seattle in particular, but I'm readjusting to the Roman rhythm of life, which is a little bit more chaotic.
You say in Italy, you say bella chaos.
Yes,
sometimes.
Sometimes.
You've got more chaos. You've got more bureaucracy.
That's for sure. There's more bureaucracy, like you said. Everything seems a little bit more complicated.
And corrupt?
I wouldn't say that necessarily.
In the past, there was a lot of corruption that was frustrating, but now?
There is, but I mean, corruption in a way, it's in every country in different forms. Maybe it's a more obvious form of corruption.
But there's a different love of life, I think, in Italy, whether it's a big city or a small town. How do people do the tempo of life in Rome compared to the United States?
I think it's the priority they give to, for instance, just the work life in general. They don't have the same importance. So, you know, you can take a coffee break. You can take two coffee breaks. You can maybe take a couple of days off because you have some family meeting you want to go to. Whereas I think in the States, you have more pressure and you need to get the work done and you wouldn't feel well about
that. I think it suits different people differently. And I think you're having a good time in Rome. Vanessa, I'll never forget, I was researching my guidebooks in Trastevere, that wonderful neighborhood all on the other side of the river, the characteristic side of the river. And I was just lost in my research. There was no tourist where I was. And then I bumped into you on your bicycle, and it just occurred to me, oh, yeah, Vanessa, you live in Trastevere. Tell me what your life is like in Trastevere.
Yeah, so what a coincidence. We did not mean to meet up, but yes, I was cycling past you.
Yeah.
So Rome, obviously, as you said, almost 4 million people. So it's a very big city to navigate your way around. Trastevere is my favorite part of Rome because it's like living in a small village within a big city. So you can have all the benefits of a big city, but you're in this self-sufficient area where actually there's not much traffic allowed into the center of Trastevere. So you can wake up in the morning and not hear the traffic, yet you're in the center of this pulsating, throbbing, wonderful place. I think when I met you, you were on your way to the famous Biscotteria Innocenti in Trastevere.
The cookie factory.
The cookie factory, exactly. You know, this lovely place where their family are still making their own biscuits in a very traditional way.
You know, that's such an amazing thing for a tourist. But for you, it's the lady who makes the cookies down the street.
Exactly. And it's such a luxury to have that. You know, you're in a big city, but you feel like you're in a small village. And that's why I love living there.
And you're a 20-minute bike ride or half-hour walk to Piazza Venezia in the center of Rome.
Exactly. And because it is a big city and there is a lot of traffic, and as you know, we don't have very many underground systems because of all those ancient Roman ruins, the bicycle for me is the best way to get around. Although a lot of my friends say, you must be crazy cycling around in these streets.
Mayors all over Europe are encouraging biking to the chagrin of drivers, I think. Our guides to Rome may have been born elsewhere, but they revel in offering an insider's perspective on the Italian capital today. Virginia Agustinelli was raised in a small town with a medieval castle in the mountains of Abruzzo, just a few hours east of Rome. It was her dream to live in the United States, so she taught at the University of Washington in Seattle while completing her doctorate in film and comparative literature. She's on the faculty with the university's Rome in Residence program and founded the Center for Sicilian Studies. Virginia also leads tours from Lake Como to Sicily. Vanessa Nicole's father is Scottish and her mother is Italian, so she was raised in both cultures. She's made Italy her home for most of her adult life. Vanessa offers private English lessons and shows visitors the pulse of daily life in her Trastevere neighborhood. They're with us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to help us get up to date on what we should know for visiting Rome today. Virginia, you also live in Rome, and I'm just curious, you've got, as a tour guide, both of you have a season and an off-season, and you also have the heat to deal with. Talk a little bit about that as a resident of Rome.
Yes, it's correct. Well, in the last few years, the temperatures have definitely gone up. For instance, I have air conditioning in my apartment, but it doesn't seem to be sufficient. I need like a stronger air conditioning system, and it's unbearable temperatures. And it's not so much, you know, it gets in the 102, 103 in the summer, but it used to be like that 1, 2, 3 days in the summer. Now it's just consistent for about 5, 6, 10 days. And that's what really makes it difficult.
10 days of 100-degree weather, and it can be muggy too.
Yes, and you need to get out for a day trip outside of Rome, in that case, just to get some fresh air.
So is it pretty much understood that a big city with lots of concrete and lots of traffic and so on will be a few degrees hotter than a breezy beach or a little town in
the
hills?
That's correct. That actually raises the temperature of a couple of degrees. So it's just an objective reality.
Yeah, that's a sad thing from a sightseeing point of view and from a tour guiding point of view, because July and August, you have to earn your living, and it can be brutal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're visiting the city, you can get around that. You can, you know, try to leave early in the morning, maybe take an early morning walk.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, because all over the Mediterranean these days, climate is going to be a challenge. Vanessa, what are some tips just for surviving in hot weather in a city on the Mediterranean like Rome?
So traditionally in Rome, it's always been very hot in August, which is why most people and the businesses would close down in August and everyone would vacate the city. Now what's happening is that warm period, which was only in August when it was a bit unbearable, is now starting in July and even sometimes into June.
Yeah.
So traditionally we would, you know, in the evenings, we would go up onto the hills. You know, there's like for the famous Gianicolo beside Trastevere, we'd go up
right.
onto the hills and we'd sit up and look at the viewpoint and have something to eat up there. But within the city now, I think if you want to navigate your way around, then you just have to put a bit more effort into being clever in your planning. For sure, you have to get up early in the morning, make the most of that morning. We have a saying, it says, quello che si fa la mattina non si fa in tutta la giornata. What one does or manages to achieve in the morning, one doesn't get it done in the whole day, you know, because the morning is that productive time. So that...
I can't believe I'm learning about getting more done from an Italian, but that sounds like words to live
in
by.
In the morning,
yeah,
you know, because of the climate.
Yeah.
So if you can be out by 6 o'clock having the most marvelous experiences in the piazzas, in Piazza Navona, in the Fontana, not in the Fontana di Trevi, not in the Trevi Fountain, you're not allowed to do that, but around the Trevi Fountain, even at 6 o'clock in the morning, I think it will still be just you, the garbage sweeper, and let's say a few local colorful people, perhaps.
But these sites can be magnificent in the morning. I would think Campo di Fiori is great when the merchants are setting up.
Absolutely. You know, can really see that local flavor.
Let's just think about this. What at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, Campo di Fiori, it's one of the most popular places. It's hot and crowded in the middle of the day. Beautiful market scene. Merchants setting up, I'm sure, at 7 o'clock. The Pantheon, I don't know when it opens, but I've been in the Pantheon all alone, literally all alone. My hotel is always near the Pantheon. And it's early in the morning.
Yeah. And even if it's now, it's increasingly difficult with the Pantheon because you need to make the reservations.
Yeah.
So people are, you know, as soon as it opens, there will be a line there in the morning. But the area around there is still very pleasant. Piazza Navona is magic in the morning with no, with no
fountains,
people.
Yeah. The Spanish steps, you name it. And then in the middle of the day, you can go to a great museum that might be air conditioned. I think the National Museum is air conditioned.
Yeah.
And this is, you can spend a few hours in the heat of the day and then take a little siesta and be out in the evening.
Yeah.
But this is the reality. As a society, we've neglected to bite the bullet and deal with climate change ethically and courageously and smartly. And now we're paying the price. And it's not going to get better. It's
exactly.
going to get worse.
So we have to evolve with that situation.
We have to evolve with that and then deal with it in a way that can help moderate it. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Virginia Agustinelli and Vanessa Nicole, both tour guides from Rome. And we're talking about Rome today. And when I think about Rome today, I'm thinking about a huge construction project that's at the Piazza Venezia, just under the famous Victor Emmanuel Monument. It looks like two big green silos, Virginia. You know what I mean?
Yes, it
and
does.
This
it
is
does.
Quite a beautiful square in the very center of town. And now it's a mess.
It's a major project. They're trying to build connect to metro lines, and it's been going on for a long time. So the Romans believe it will never end. And it does block traffic all around the city because, like you said, it's the very heart
of
Rome.
This is going to be years. They told me, I don't know, 10, 15 years or something like that. I don't know.
They did say that. So that's why the Romans think it will be forever.
If they say 10 or 15 years.
If they say 15, it means 30.
But Europe is a work in progress. And especially in Rome, if you're going to build a subway, you have to go deep.
That's true. And it's also if the city needs new metro lines, new metro system, the city has to suffer a little bit before they see an improvement.
It's always worth it.
I think that's what it will be.
But in Seattle, if you go down 20 feet, you don't find anything but dirt. But in Rome, if you go down 20 feet, you find precious ancient ruins. So it's really the nightmare of a builder in Rome, I would think, is you can have your schedule all laid out and then you discover something and all of a sudden, the historians and the archaeologists have to come in and make sure they know what you're doing, understandably so.
Well, they have a wonderful project also in terms of the archaeology and everything that they find because they're going to make it a museum, like a metro station dash museum, and they're going to display all the artifacts that they find in that area. So it will be beautiful to walk through that station.
I mean, all my life I've been looking down at Largo Argentina, you know, which is just like a city square block size of an open excavation site where you had the footprints of some old temples from the earlier part of Rome, from the Republic of Rome. And it's a cat sanctuary, right? So there's a lot of cats down there.
Yeah.
But just in the last year or two, they've opened up some exhibits that are just beautiful. And there's walkways and there's information panels. Have you been down there, Vanessa?
Yeah. They're working on that.
I'm liking what Rome's doing with their... And in the Forum, you've got some new dimensions to see.
Yes.
The Domus Domus Tiberiana? And it goes to a church from like ancient Roman times.
And they're also starting to use more... these places that we can visit, and instead of just keeping that to a daily opening schedule, they're organizing things in the evening as well.
Well, tell me more about that, because evening is prime time, it's cooler, you know, you don't have the crowds, and it's a wonderful dimension of Rome. Rome is a huge cultural city, and because of the language barrier, a lot of us don't really take full advantage of it, but what are some things we might want to do in the evening from a cultural point of view?
Even at the Forum in the evening, they're organizing evening visits, which are often they're using multimedia installations and projecting onto the backdrop of the Trajan markets. And you can see the silhouette of the Colosseum, and above they have the lights in a way that they project up into the sky. And so the seagulls that are flying overhead just look like doves. It's quite magical in the moonlight. It's really lovely to do that in the evening.
There's two of those. One, you sit on bleachers and you watch a sound and light show.
Yes.
And then another one is leaving from right there also, where you actually walk through the Forum.
Exactly.
And they're both really good.
Yeah.
They have a festival too along the Tiber River. Vanessa and I were just talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And during this festival, only in the summer months, when the water is not too high, they set up all this kiosk and stands, and you can get your spritz and your drink and walk along the Tiber even later in the day. And it's fun. There's music.
And I've always felt like Rome turns its back on its river. It's got a big embankment. There's plenty of space to walk on the quay. And now they're doing some more organizing there for these cultural events and these sort of food fairs and so
Correct.
On.
There is food fair, there is live music, there is a lot of people doing their passeggiata along the river.
Is that throughout the season?
Throughout the summer, mostly in the summer months.
What's that called?
It's called Estate Romana, the Roman summer.
Romana. So we should put that on our list, I would think.
Yeah, and you can see all the stalls going along the river in the evening. But now what they're doing as well is with the backdrop of where the Castel Sant'Angelo is, they have extended the area. And again, I think this is a recent thing since people do want to make more of the evenings because of the fact that it's so warm during the day. Yeah. And so they've extended the area that they're using along the river. And there are basically like stage venues where every evening there are live performances of blues and jazz and swing. It's music, it's a bar, it's restaurant by the side of the river in a beautiful backdrop. So people start, they get up and there's a space where people can dance. And it's that lovely situation where you can get multi-generational recreation going on, which is increasingly harder, you know, to have that kind of situation.
And I can just see it right now. Towering above you is the floodlit Castello Sant'Angelo.
It's magical.
Hadrian's tomb, an ancient Roman castle. That was the tomb of the emperor that the Pope used for his refuge when he had to flee the Vatican.
And meanwhile, you're dancing by the banks of that river in that backdrop. It's called the Terrazza Tevere, the Terrace of the Tiber.
The Terrace of the Tiber. Do you need tickets for that?
You don't need tickets. There's no fee. It's not crowded.
And I'm just thinking, I've got to put that in my book. Yes. I can't believe it's not in my Rome guidebook.
Not probably because this is recent things.
This is new, yeah.
This is recent things.
All right. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Rome today with two wonderful Roman guides, Virginia Agustinelli and Vanessa Nicol. We're just about out of time, Virginia and Vanessa, but I do want to talk about the Jubilee year. 2025 is the Jubilee, and the Pope calls for it. I think it's every 25 years. And it's an excuse for lots of devout Catholics to come to Rome and enjoy a very busy and festive season. And it happens to congest Rome as well. What do you anticipate for the Jubilee year? What should we be mindful of? What can we enjoy because of that? And what should we be careful of?
So it will be, like you said, a very busy year for the city of Rome. They're expecting big crowds, but at the same time, you can play it very smart and reservations are absolutely a must.
Yeah.
At the same time, Rome is a big city and there are many districts that you can visit. Obviously, the Vatican district is going to be the busiest. There are other sites and like Coppa dei district.
So if you're going to do anything related to the Jubilee, it's going to be very, very crowded. And the one thing that you'd really want to be careful about is get a hotel as soon as you can.
Absolutely. Reservations as soon as you can are mandatory,
And you could look, because I'm going to be filming there, and I've looked at the Vatican schedule, and I found a time when it seems like it's a lower ebb. But some weeks are really busy and others are less busy. And you'd want to, you know, unless you want to be there for all of the Vatican celebrations and the religious festivities, you probably wouldn't want to be there on Easter, for example.
That's right. But the positive side will be that all the scaffolding that was up and everything that they're restoring and polishing and cleaning will be finally down. And you'll be able to see this beautiful new Rome, including the Pietà by Michelangelo, which was covered for restoration. It's supposed to come down and we'll see.
Ah, that's something to look forward to. Vanessa, what are your thoughts for travelers considering traveling during Holy Year 2025?
I think that as long as you're prepared, you know it's going to be a bit busier. And sometimes, you know, in the past, it's been the case that people are so panicky about it and it's going to be massive and there's going to be all these people. And actually, it's a whole year when there's an opportunity for people to come. So it often just levels itself out. But as long as you're prepared, and bear in mind, exactly, it's all going to be polished and clean and looking perfect
really
in
great.
Order to celebrate this Jubilee year. So actually, you'll see Rome cleaner than you've ever seen it.
Nice. The eternal city will be looking young and sparkly.
Yay.
Vanessa Nicol, Virginia Agustinelli, mille grazie, and best wishes in your beautiful city of Rome.
Thank you. It's
grazie
been a pleasure.
Accompagnami, sorina, la mia bella fornarina.
We're coming up on the 68th anniversary of one of the darkest episodes of the Cold War. A cross-section of Hungary's population, from college students to factory workers, demonstrated in the streets for democratic rights that its Soviet-backed government denied. The Soviets replied with troops to crush the revolt. Michael Korda was there, and he tells us what it was like next on Travel with Rick Steves.